ஓம ஜானதிமிரந்தஸ்ய ஜானஞ்சன சலாகய சக்ஷுர்மீலிதம் யேன தஸ்மை ஸ்ரீ குருவே நமஹ.
Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 2, text 54, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Arjuna said, O Krishna, what are the servants of one whose consciousness is thus merged in transcendence? How does he speak and what is his language? How does he sit and how does he walk? So this is a seminar, for 3 days we'll speak on Vaishnava etiquette. Etiquette means proper or fine points of behavior that a devotee is expected to act differently and better than ordinary people is expressed by Arjuna in this verse. Previous to this, Krishna has spoken of the person, Krishna is speaking of the person who is fixed in self-realization. So Arjuna asks, well, what are the symptoms of such a person? We see so many people in the world. Everyone is walking and talking and standing and sitting and eating and breathing and doing so many things. So Arjuna is asking, what is the difference between a self-realized person and a non-self-realized person? Now, Arjuna's specific question is, how does he speak? What is his language? One who is situated in transcendence, how does he speak? How does he walk? How does he sit? Krishna doesn't say that, well, he speaks in Sanskrit, or that he walks quite quickly or quite slowly, or he sits in a Padmasana or Sukhasana. But he gives the general symptom that a person's, what are the general symptoms of a person situated in transcendence? His activities, they are removed from the desire for sense gratification. In other words, he walks, he talks, he sits, he speaks, he laughs, he drinks, he eats. But he does everything not for sense gratification, but for Krishna. Now certainly, a devotee, his behavior is different from that of non-devotees. You can say ordinary. Actually, sometimes we say, well, we think devotees aren't normal. But actually, devotees are normal, and non-devotees, they are abnormal. Just like if you go to the crazy house, mental asylum, Pagalkana, whatever you want to call it. In the crazy house, doing crazy things may appear to be normal. So here in this material world, more or less everyone is crazy because they're not Krishna conscious. And they think that non-Krishna conscious behavior is normal. But actually Krishna conscious behavior is normal. So when we say a devotee is different from ordinary people, we mean a devotee is different from ordinarily insane people who populate this universe. The universe is full of insane people. But a devotee, he acts according to the desire of Krishna. Whereas a non-devotee acts in various ways which are not in accord with the desire of Krishna. So the basic symptom of a devotee is he does everything for Krishna's pleasure. Now there are certain certain things which can be done either for one's own personal pleasure or for Krishna's pleasure. Such activities as eating. You can either eat for your own sense gratification, or we can eat Krishna Prasad in the spirit of service to Krishna. But more specifically, a non-devotee eats that which is not offered to Krishna. So one symptom of a devotee is that he only takes Krishna Prasad. So that is part of Vaishnava behavior. He only takes Krishna Prasad. He doesn't like to eat other things. So understanding what Krishna wants us to do, that is Krishna consciousness. And there are many rules and regulations given in the scriptures to raise us to the standard of Krishna consciousness. Some of these are very important rules. Others could be said to be less important, but actually all the rules are important because they're all meant for satisfying Krishna. Just there are many what we might call smaller rules. Just like, for instance, I'm seeing here we have, here in this Bhagavad Gita, someone has underlined, they have made some marks in the book. But actually this is not proper. Should not do this. That is not proper. If you want to make notes, you should make notes separately. But don't make this book, this worship of book, Bhagavad Gita. So like that. You should look after it nicely. Another point, one should, this is actually a very important point, which in the modern age, because everyone is mlecha, even though certain people may be very proud of being born in a Brahmin family, but due to lack of training, everyone is exactly like a mlecha. So we see, just like I'm seeing exactly now at this moment, many people like to put their hand on their mouth, like yourself, as you're doing just now. You should go and wash your hands. Kindly, go and wash your hands. So this is a contaminated thing to do. But people think that you're also good. Please go and wash your hands. Yes, yes, sir. Not you. I didn't catch you. Maybe you were doing also. You were. You just had your hand on your mouth. Yes, you're looking behind. I'm looking at you. Please go and wash your hands. You're looking at it and thinking it's clean. But it's not clean because you just had it on your mouth. So you should go and wash it. So we may think, well, that's not very important. But it is important because next thing you'll touch Bhagavad Gita, if you put your hand on your mouth, that is a contamination. So then you'll touch Bhagavad Gita. Actually, there are more germs in the mouth than in the anus. Most of the diseases are transmitted by mouth. Was anyone ever told by their parents or grandparents not to put their hand in their mouth? Some. Still, some. When you don't follow, that's all. That's for old people. Not very important. So still, but you won't teach your children. You'll give them Mickey Mouse to play with. You won't teach them. So all these rules are important. Why is that important? Because actually this is a basic rule of hygiene. Because the hand is on the mouth, so many germs are there. But it's also, it becomes offensive. Just like I was saying, you put your hands on your mouth, and next thing you put them, you pick up Bhagavad Gita. Or you open the door. And then someone else comes and opens the door, and they also become contaminated. That's why previously there was this concept of aspriṣyata, those who are untouchable. Because those who were not trained, who didn't have good habits, they'd always be doing unclean things and touching unclean things. And those who are following symptoms of purity, they'll always be engaged in puja, So we have to be clean. Now someone is putting his hand in his mouth or eating meat or drinking coffee or other such unclean activities, then they become contaminated. So if you touch them, you also become contaminated. Devotees, they should learn the main rules. There are some major rules, very important rules. The main thing is we should chant the Maha Mantra. There are other rules we should know. Actually, there are many things. And we can't imagine that in 3 days I'm going to, not even 3 days, 3 sessions, I'm going to cover them all. But I think you're getting this printout. These are some actually unfinished essays. I'm compiling in a book these points of Vaishnava etiquette, culture and behavior, which are important for all devotees. Not that I'm a great example of, I'm not claiming to be a proper example of proper behavior myself. It's easier to write and talk about these things. I mean, this kind of thing, like putting, at least I don't do that, but I have that habit. I don't have that habit. But as Krishna discusses in this verse, real Vaishnava behavior is, or as Krishna will discuss in the reply, proper Vaishnava behavior is a manifestation of purified consciousness. There are rules and regulations. It requires some piece of wood here to stop it. It's not, otherwise, without that, it's not well designed. So, proper behavior, that is a manifestation of purified consciousness. But we also have the rules and regulations to help us purify our consciousness. Just like we have the rule, rise early in the morning. Why? Because that time of day is best for spiritual practices. That is an important part of Vaishnava behavior. Rising early in the morning. And rising late in the morning, that is a symptom of tamagun. So if we rise late in the morning, we can never become properly purified. So many rules and regulations are given to help us rise to the transcendental platform. And when we rise to the transcendental platform, then automatically Sarva Mahava Guna Gana Vaishnava Sharira, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, all the wonderful qualities that automatically manifested in a devotee. As Prahlad Maharaj also said, that one who is a devotee, he automatically, Sarvai Guna Stapta Samasade Sura, one who is devoted to Krishna, he develops all good qualities. Actually, Pujari, Mr. Pujari, Sri Pujari, if there's a class going on, it's better you don't blow loudly, just quietly. So, these qualities of Vaishnavas, that is very attractive, is it not? Who has read this Prabhupada Lilamrita? Has anyone read? You put your hand up. Who has read? So that's very attractive, isn't it? Prabhupada, how by his wonderful qualities of determination and Krishna consciousness, he sacrificed, he preached to people. He really wanted that other people become Krishna conscious. And he was fully Krishna conscious himself. So when we read that, we think, oh, I'd like to associate with Prabhupada, isn't it? Feel like that? Many people, their lives changed by reading that Prabhupada Lilamrita. They thought, oh, still in this world it's possible. Even in the modern age, it's so contaminated. Still, this wonderful Krishna bhakti, it's still possible. So they like to take up Krishna consciousness by hearing about the qualities of Prabhupada. Similarly, if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll read about the wonderful qualities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees and their wonderful loving exchanges. Prabhupada said that also, Pujari, please don't ring the bell loudly. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said once that even if you don't understand or accept that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God, because he is taking the role of a devotee, if you simply study him as a Vaishnava, you can understand what is the proper behavior of a Vaishnava by hearing about the activities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is very attractive if we hear about the loving exchanges of Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he's completely dedicated to his devotees. Many times he said that I'm completely the property of my devotees. They can take me and sell me in the marketplace if they like, because I'm completely conquered by their love. So when we speak about Vaishnava etiquette and behavior, often there are different parts of this subject. One part is the rules and regulations of Vaishnava life, things like rise early in the morning, chant Hare Krishna, take prasad, don't put your hand on your mouth except if you're eating, and then afterwards wash it. Don't, as a habit, put your hand on your mouth. Don't underline books. There are many such things. Don't play with your feet. Have you seen something? They play with their feet and then they'll open the Bhagavad Gita. So many funny things. And another is Vaishnava relationships and dealings. So these are different parts of Vaishnava behavior. And by seeing Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he expresses in this Bhaktyalo, as one book written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktyalo. So he says that simply by associating with and seeing the behavior of devotees, many materialistic people, they gave up bad habits such as excessive attachment to women, chewing tobacco, and he gives a whole list of bad, undesirable activities. So tonight's lecture is that a devotee's behavior should be ideal. Devotee is expected to be ideal. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stated that dharma sthapan hetu sadhu vyavahar, that religious principles are established in this world by the behavior of devotees, how the devotees behave. That establishes what is from. Was that I saw that at school, at the Catholic school I was at, the teachers who were speaking of Catholicism and God, because in their, they would speak, but in their behavior, it was something different. So I thought, what's the use of this believing in God? And also the priests I saw, drunkards, our parish priest was a chain smoker. You know what that means, a chain smoker? It means when you finish one, with the one just as it's finishing, you light another one. And you go on all day like this. Constantly smoking. So I thought that, well, what's the use? These people are talking about God, but they're not even better behaved than any other person. And even some people are not talking about God, they're better behaved than them. So what's the use of this believing in God? So by the grace of my Catholic upbringing, By around the age of 10, I became an atheist. Of course, later on I considered that, just because the priest is a chain smoker doesn't mean there's no God. But I don't think I'm going to find him in the church. Maybe everywhere else, but I don't think I'll find him in the church. So a devotee's behavior should be ideal, actually, if he's a devotee. He should become purified. Of course, in the beginning, when someone first takes to Krishna consciousness, he may have bad habits. As is stated in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada explains this verse. Apiche sudaracharo bhajate mamaranibha sadhudeva samantavya samyavya sadhudeva. Krishna says, if someone is fully dedicated to worshipping me, but it is seen that he performs very bad activities, still he is to be considered sacred, because kshipram bhavati dharmatma, because he's fully dedicated to the principle of worshipping me, then he will very soon come to the proper position. So Prabhupada explains in the purports that it's not that someone can claim to be a devotee and do all nonsense on the basis of this. But rather, if someone has come to devotional service, if due to past bad habits he sometimes slips, that is not to be held against him, if he's sincere to serve Krishna. But that he's sincere means that he will not repeat the same mistake over and over again. You may make a mistake, but if you repeatedly do the same thing wrongly, then it means that you're not properly situated. So, in the beginning, situated. But having taken up Krishna consciousness, a person should become purified. So a devotee should be ideal in his behavior, how he interacts with others, deals with others. Of course, it's not that a devotee is simply sentimental. We often see pictures of sadhus who are simply holding a flower and smiling. But Prabhupada, of course, he was preaching very strongly. Sometimes people became disturbed by Prabhupada speaking so strongly. Why are you using such language? Fools, rascals, murhas, nonsense, animals, dogs and cats. So many words Prabhupada used to use. But Prabhupada would say that simply our business is to repeat Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna uses such words, namam dushkriyam murha. And to his disciples, Prabhupada would sometimes, not quite often, say, fool, rascal, nonsense. Aborigine, sometimes in such words. So, it's not that a devotee is simply sentimental, but if a devotee speaks in that way for the upliftment of others, that is beneficial. In other words, he doesn't simply stroke people's false ego. Just like if you go to a Rotary Club meeting or a Lions Club meeting, they will say, everyone will praise each other. But Krishna consciousness is not meant to be a mutual admiration club. You are very good. Yes, you are very good. The process of purification means identifying the faults and working to rectify them. So correction may be there, or should be there, must be there. That's an important part of my book, which, Krishna willing, will be finished before too long. This book on correcting others, because it's a very delicate topic. How to correct others? Should we correct? Are we in the proper position to mention to others? It's often very delicate. But the basic point is that devotees should be ideal in their behavior. So this, again, in relationships and dealings, this how to correct others. If the intention is to help others, then that will be appreciated. But if in the name of correcting others we're simply manifesting our own egoism, that will not be appreciated. So the basic point is that devotees should be ideal. We are training, what is this Krishna consciousness process? We are training to enter Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. So in the spiritual world, there is no tamaguna, there is no rajaguna, there is not even the sattvaguna of this material world. Although the sattvaguna of this material world is very close to the shuddha sattva, the position of pure goodness. Therefore devotees, they are enjoined to develop the mode of goodness, because that is the preparatory stage for coming to the shuddha sattva, the completely purified platform. So if you see in this book I'm preparing, there are actually more than 100 chapters on different points. 3 of the chapters have been printed out here. Again, it's not edited, there's still work to do. 3 of the chapters here, the basic point that a devotee should be ideal, then cleanliness, and then training. But there are so many points that I've written in that book about the importance of hearing standards for giving class, standards for hearing class, reading, what we should read, what our Krishna consciousness should be based on, then relationships between devotees, disputes, because even among devotees there may be disagreements, differences of opinion, how they may be settled, different outlooks, because two people, they may both be thinking how to serve Krishna, but they may have a different outlook on how to do so. They both may be sincere. Just to give an example, even in the spiritual world, Mother Yashoda, she puts Krishna to bed at night, and she's thinking, let Krishna sleep very nicely, there should be no disturbance. But the gopis are thinking that Krishna should come out and not sleep, and he will dance with us at night. So both are thinking how to serve Krishna. But if Mother Yashoda heard that the gopis want to take Krishna and he won't get a full night's sleep, she'll be very upset that all day he's working hard, taking the cows out, and you want to take him out again at night? What is this? Apart from being immoral. So this is in the spiritual world, or in spiritual existence, they're both thinking how to serve Krishna, but they have a different outlook on how to do so. That is completely on the transcendental platform. Of course, a lot of problems arise here in this material world because we are sadhas, we are not siddha. We are not on the transcendental platform. We are trying to be devotees. So we are trying to serve Krishna, and our understanding of how to do so is because of our imperfect realization of Krishna. So that is one problem. Another problem is that we are still influenced very much by the lower mode. We are influenced by material consciousness. So even in serving Krishna, there may be egoism. For instance, we have to do some service, and service to Krishna should be executed in a selfless manner. But we may be thinking, if I do this service nicely, others will notice and others will praise me, which is a material motivation. But we may not even notice that in our hearts. We may be thinking, yes, I'm very sincerely serving Krishna. But it may be that actually deep in our heart, we're thinking of our own recognition. So in the sadhana dasha, or the stage of training for perfection, we always need to be guided. Otherwise the danger is that even though we may think we're doing everything very nicely, we make mistakes. Krishna must be served perfectly. That is why we require training. You see, here in the material world, we may be serving the deity. We may make some mistake, but due to this mistake comes through neglectfulness or lack of proper consciousness. We may forget to put Krishna's mosquito net at night. But if we are fully Krishna conscious, we won't forget. Because we are always thinking how to please Krishna. So as long as we are not in fully purified consciousness, unless we are fully trained in Vaishnava behavior, understanding what Krishna wants, and developing that consciousness of what Krishna wants, so that at every moment we are simply acting in a way that is pleasing to Krishna, then we are not eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. We're not properly trained. So when we're talking about training in Vaishnava behavior, we shouldn't think that it's just like some extra thing. You can do it or not do it. That we're chanting Hare Krishna, and that's Krishna consciousness. And Vaishnava behavior, that's something like, you know, for all the stupid people like Bhakti Vikas Swami. But we shouldn't think like that. That's just, you know, that's just some rules and regulations. This is, when we say Vaishnava etiquette, is actually not different from Krishna consciousness. That's why one of the most important chapters in my book is about conscientiousness. When we say Krishna consciousness, actually, consciousness is a general term. It means awareness. But conscientiousness, that is a very precise term. Conscientious means that we're always not just generally aware, but specifically aware. What does Krishna want? At every moment we should be thinking how to act, speak. Siddha Pragya Sikha Pasha. How does these Prabhupada's singled out? The speaking propensity is the most. What are we speaking? Krishna consciousness begins with the tongue. Sevam Mukhi Jivada. We should be thinking how to speak in such a way that Krishna is pleased. We should be thinking. Well, that is the meaning of conscientiousness. You see, you're putting your hand on your mouth. No, you're not. Alright, well, sure look like it to me. So, conscientiousness. Always thinking how to act in a manner that is pleasing to Krishna. If we're not thinking like that, then we'll make mistakes.
said, for instance, there are many examples. You see, in our temples in the West, they're not designed. Many of the buildings there, they're refurbished houses, like here, or churches which have been redesigned as temples. So they're not actually designed as temples. So in many of the temples, you'll find the altar and the kitchen, they're at some distance. Whereas if a temple is designed as a, built as a temple, the kitchen will be next to the altar. So that the bowl comes directly to the altar, isn't it? But in the Western countries, or even here, they have, the kitchen is at some distance because it's a refurbished house. So, they used to bring the bowl from the kitchen to the temple room for offering. So one Mataji who used to have a service to bring it, devotee, she was thinking, actually it's not very good that everyone is, as I'm walking to bring it, so many people are seeing that. So she had the good idea that I'll put one cloth and that will cover it, so that people won't see it. So she brought, first time she did, she brought it. And she brought it into the temple room and put it on the altar. And Prabhupada was in, this was in Los Angeles, Prabhupada was sitting in that, in the temple room, on the Vyasa side. And she hadn't told Prabhupada I'm going to do this, but she thought, you see, now Prabhupada will see I made a good arrangement. So she brought it in, and then she took it off. But actually she should have closed the curtain first, isn't it? So Prabhupada immediately said, you see, you're such a fool that you brought it so no one would see it. But here in the temple room, so many people are sitting and you uncovered it so they can all see. So the original idea, let me do this for Krishna. Let me cover it with a cloth so that others won't see. It's a very good idea. But that idea came out of the purified desire to serve Krishna. But then she was thinking, oh, Prabhupada will see that I've done it, and Prabhupada will be pleased, and Prabhupada will praise me. So then, the original good idea, it's still a good idea, but it became mixed up with the idea that Prabhupada will praise me in front of everybody else. And so, she made a mistake, because the consciousness had become distracted. And therefore, in front of everybody, she uncovered it, and Prabhupada immediately chastised. So, conscientiousness. Always thinking what is most pleasing to Krishna. This is at the heart of Vaishnava etiquette, Vaishnava behavior. This is Krishna consciousness. To always act in a manner that is pleasing to Krishna. So we should know what is necessary to serve Krishna. Therefore we may have to learn so many things. Like I said, I'm writing in a book, because previously in India people would be trained in these basic things, like don't put your hand in your mouth, which you're just about to do, my cardinal. Basic things. Because these are, but nowadays, even in India, people don't know these things. What to speak of in the West? So all these things, I'm trying to put them. Of course, we can't follow as in the present modern society, we can't follow in the same way. It's not possible. Just like one example I often give, that we have in modern homes attached bathrooms, which is a modern convenience. But it is absolutely ashuddha. It's absolutely impure. If you have the bathroom attached to your home, then everything is impure. If you're passing school in the same building, actually you can't, according to all the rules, you can't cook in that building. You can't do puja in that building. You can't live in that building. You're thinking, you see it advertised, very nice. 3-bedroom apartment with 2 bathrooms. So people are passing stool in 2 places, not only 1. And you're thinking, very nice, first class. So what to do? Actually, Prabhupada, he many times said that we should get out of these hellish cities. It's so hellish all the time. Noise, dust, and dirt. And also people living in the city, people lose all their good qualities and their culture and everything. So Prabhupada was very much stressing going back to the land so that we can establish all these points of culture. Because actually you can't follow all these things properly in the city. In the city, if you dress in Vaishnava dress, people will think, that's very strange. Why are you dressing in a dhoti? Why are you wearing that? You should wear pants and shirts. This pant and shirt, it's all, you see, you wear the same pants again and again and again. Isn't it? You use one day, you hang it up, and then the next day again you put. Do you do like that? You're changing every day? You're putting fresh pants every day? You're doing. Is everyone doing like that? Generally not. You don't like to say. By your silence and things. Implicated, guilty. So it's all very unclean. Even this pants and shirt is such nonsense. You see, it's so hot in Madras. 12 months a year. And everyone is sweating like anything. But they think we have to wear these jeans. And especially they like to wear these tight jeans. The young girls, they like to wear tight jeans, which is very uncomfortable and very hot. But they're thinking this is better to wear like this. So many things we can't follow in modern life. So you have to go to work. The convention is that you have to go with pants and shirt and all this kind of thing. So many things we can't follow. But as much as possible, we should try to follow all these things. Especially in the matter of behavior, Vaishnavas, they should be ideal. Even we can't follow all the rules and regulations, but we should try to be ideal. Actually, if our behavior as devotees is, just I was giving that example, how I became turned off from Catholicism by the bad behavior of the priests and the teachers. But on the other hand, if we are very nicely behaved, then people will appreciate it, because especially in the modern age, people are very rough and coarse in their behavior, isn't it? And especially now in the last few years, the corporate culture has come very much to this city. So everyone is just me, me, and me. I have 3 interests in life. Number 1 is me, number 2 is me, and number 3 is me. So this is modern life. It's a very selfish kind of life, and the corporate rat race, everyone is trying to push others down and push himself up. So there's so much politics and rough dealings. So people will appreciate if devotees are, well, actually devotees should be very well behaved and considerate to others. Prabhupada, he taught that Krishna consciousness means personalism. We are worshipping Krishna. Who is Krishna? Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Prabhupada especially spoke against impersonalism. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshacharine. He's come to deliver the Western countries which are filled with impersonalism and voidism. So this impersonal behavior that you neglect others and you don't care for them, that is completely widespread in the modern age. But if devotees should deal very personally and nicely, because they're servants of the Supreme Person. Especially in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sampradaya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is worshipping Krishna in the mode of, especially in the mode of Madhurya, sweetness. That Shringaras, that is called Madhuryas. So, of course, all the devotees of Krishna, they're experiencing Krishna's sweetness. But especially that Shringaras, the exchange of Krishna with his devotees in male-female exchange, that is called Madhuryas because there's more sweetness. So, Krishna is sweet, especially in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sampradaya. We especially emphasize on Krishna. There are many incarnations of God. Rama, Nrsimha, Varaha, Kurma, and they're all sweet. It's not that they're not sweet. Even Nrsimhadevi is very sweet. But especially Krishna, among all the incarnations, of course Krishna is the source of all incarnations, but Krishna is especially sweet. So just as Krishna is sweet, his devotees, they should also be sweet. Of course Krishna can also be apparently unkind to the non-devotees. That is his mercy on them. But especially devotees in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sampradaya, they're attracted to the sweetness of Krishna. So we should try to develop it. Modern life especially means that we tend to be somewhat harsh. But we should, again, that's what I'm saying, it's easier to talk about these things. I think I'm known for my non-sweetness. It's even, I'm also attracted by these things, otherwise why am I speaking? So I'm speaking about these things because I'd also like to develop that the sweetness of devotional. That Chaitanya Charitamrita, you read how the devotees there interacting with each other, such nice exchanges. How Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so loving and kind to his devotees. And if you read, you'll feel, oh, this is very wonderful. We like to be like this. So devotees, they should cultivate this. That means seeing all living beings as part and parcel of Krishna. Not only in dealings with devotees, but in dealings with everybody, we can deal in such a way that people think, yes, this is very nice. I like to associate more with these people. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said, Amanina Manadena, that instead of thinking everyone should honor me, I should be honored. That is the mode of the non-devotee. Ishvara Amaham Bhogi, I am the boss. I am the enjoyer. But a devotee's mode is Amanina, I don't desire respect, but Manadena, willing to give respect to others. So, this very much, how is that to be manifested in our behavior? How do we deal with others? Just like if we pick up the phone, and someone says, who is that? What do you want? And immediately we'll feel, oh, he's not a very nice person. But if you pick up the phone and say, Hare Krishna, how can I help you? Like this. And you see, you can do either way. But if we do in a sweet way, then people will think, oh, people naturally, they'll appreciate that. They'll appreciate that. That's another subject in my book, telephone etiquette.
Because many times we have the experience, you pick up the phone, who's that? What do you want? It sounds like a no. You know, there'll be, but it takes the difference between the mood of who are you, you're disturbing me, and the mood of the yes, we're here to serve you. So devotee, he cultivates the mood instead of Ishvara Amahambhogi, I am the controller and I am the enjoyer. He cultivates the mood that I am the servant of everybody. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy. Dasa dasa amudasa. We are not, that our philosophy is not to become exactly the servant of God, but to become the servant of the servant of the servant. So cultivating that mood of humility and service. Of course, it may seem hypocritical that I'm saying that, and I'm sitting up here and talking down to you, and if I see anything anyone's doing wrong, I'll immediately tell you. So how is that servant? Of course, that is also the duty of a sannyasi. It's not a very good, I don't recommend, don't take sannyas. You should all take sannyas. Renounce this material world. But don't take sannyas to become a boss. Sannyas is addressed as Swami. And that means he's supposed to be controller of his senses. And he's also supposed to control his disciples. You should be like this for their benefit. But actually, the Vaishnava, you should take a humble position. So that's what I'm saying. Don't take sannyas. Not for self-aggrandizement. The devotee should always think of himself as a servant and develop that mood that we have come to this Krishna consciousness to serve Krishna and to serve the devotees and to serve all others. And if we have that mood, then the Krishna consciousness will expand very wonderfully. For practical example, I think those of you who are coming regularly, you're probably aware that the devotees who are based at our Chopati Center in Bombay have become well known because Vaishnava behavior is very exemplary and in the mood of service and nice system whereby everyone is helping everybody else. And for various reasons, because there's strong spiritual basis and a lot of emphasis on proper behavior among devotees and service mood. So as a result, actually many, many, many people are coming forward and becoming attracted to that. So this proper Vaishnava behavior, we can see practically that if it's practiced, that it becomes very attractive. Many people like to take part in that. And then all the devotees there, because everyone is behaving very nicely with everyone else, then all their energy unites together and they all help each other to advance very nicely in Krishna consciousness. And it becomes, as Prabhupada said, that this Krishna conscious movement is meant to make Vaikuntha here in this material world. So Prabhupada said that all our centers of ISKCON, they should be like oases. In the desert, we are suffering from lack of water. But if we go to an oasis, there are nice palm trees and there's plenty of water and then fully refreshed. By going to the oasis, we feel relief from the scorching heat of the desert and the lack of water. So similarly, in this material world, we are suffering from the scorching heat of material consciousness and material dealings
Everyone is dealing very roughly with each other. So our temples, they should be oases. Or they should be embassies of the spiritual world, whereby coming, by visiting, people can feel that, oh, this is just like the spiritual world. And then they feel that this is my real home. And that also we can set up in our homes. If in the home everything is centered on Krishna consciousness, then such a home is a completely different atmosphere to that of materialistic homes where everyone is simply interested in sense gratification. But in a Krishna conscious home, this center is Krishna. Whereas in a non-Krishna conscious home, this center is literally the TV. Because in the main room, it will be in the main place, and everyone, their consciousness is literally focused on the TV. But in a Krishna conscious home, the altar is there, and the attention is centered on how to satisfy Krishna. So Vaishnava etiquette, in many ways, many of the things, they parallel what is proper behavior in this material world. She's like, don't put your hand in your mouth. Behave nicely with others. In any cultured family, these things should be taught, although there's not much culture left. And very soon there won't be many families left either, because the more the Western ideas come in, then family life will be finished. There won't be any family. Just like in the West, most people, they're not brought up in a family. They're brought up only by their mother, or their mother, and then they're remarried. Their mother is remarried to another man who's not the father of the children. And then she has another one or two children by that husband, and then she gets another husband, and it goes on like this. Every 3 or 4 years, change your husband. Vasam Sijiyamani, just like when your clothes are worn out, you get new ones. So when you're fed up with your husband, you get a new one. Like that. So that will come in India, don't worry. You're lagging behind the West, but don't worry, very soon you'll be catching up. So normally many of these things are taught in the family, but that's also part of Krishna consciousness. Of course, without Krishna consciousness, it's all useless. You can be a very cultured gentleman. Of course, nowadays they think gentleman, they advertise gentleman means tie and suit and drink brandy. Don't drink whiskey. You have to drink brandy, is more high class. So they've got the wrong idea of what it means to be a gentleman. The gentleman, actually Prabhupada translated this word dhira, self-control, just like this, sitta-pragya. Sitta-pragya means one whose consciousness is fixed, who is self-controlled. So that is the meaning of a gentleman. Once Prabhupada was asked, what are the symptoms of a Krishna conscious person? Prabhupada says, he is a gentleman. And what is that? Prabhupada said, he follows these four principles. No meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication. So that is the beginning of civilized human behavior. And there are many other points. So a devotee should be ideal in everything. Especially character. Krishna consciousness means character training. Character should be first class. How he acts, Arjuna is asking, how does a self-realized person act? So a Krishna conscious person, he's not a liar, a cheat, a thief, a hypocrite. Of course, for Krishna, even sometimes someone may lie. He may be deceitful. Vasudeva was deceitful. He took Krishna away. He lied, I will give every child to Kamsa after he's born. But in the case of Krishna, he lied. So in Krishna's service, there may be a higher morality, but basically a devotee, he is the best behaved person, because he's always thinking how to satisfy Krishna. Now Krishna conscious morality and mundane morality, they don't always go side by side. But basically a devotee, he is the best behaved person, because he's always thinking how to satisfy Krishna. So how exactly to behave, basic guidelines are given in Shastra. Exactly how to apply them in practical life, that requires some purified intelligence, which is gained from hearing from and serving sadhu. Sadhu means one who follows sadhachar. So, to learn how to behave properly in every situation, sometimes it may be perplexing, because sometimes we can't do everything exactly correctly. We may have to break something. There's an example, Krishna told one story, you'll find in the Mahabharata, that one Brahmana took a vow never to tell a lie in his life, which is a very good vow, isn't it? I should always be truthful. So one day he was outside his house and a man came running up saying, I'm a merchant, I'm carrying money, but some thieves are chasing me to steal it. Where can I hide? So the truthful Brahmana said, there's some trees are there, you hide them. So then a few minutes later, a group of men came running up and they said that we are thieves. One merchant, did you see one man coming running this way? He said, yes. He said, well, we want to take his money. So, do you know where he is? Yes. Where is he? He's hiding in the wood over there. So they went there, killed him and took his money. So the Brahmana, he went throughout his whole life, he never told a lie. When he died, he went to hell. Because another principle, one principle is never to tell a lie. Another principle is to protect, to give protection to a suitable person. Even by telling a lie, you should protect a suitable person. And even by breaking your vow, you can do so. Obviously, in this case, it was more important that he misdirect the thieves to protect that man. But he was thinking, I have to uphold my vow. So he didn't actually understand the principles of religion. So it's very important to understand, to develop the consciousness of what is proper behavior and what is not. That requires, first of all, we should know what is in Shastra, what Shastra directs. And then we should know what are our acharyas direct, because even everything in Shastra we can't follow, like I was saying. If you can't follow, just like the rule may be there about the bathroom should be kept at a distance. But what to do if you're living in the modern world, modern city? Even the bath water, you're taking bath with that. That is coming in pipes. made of what? Iron or what? So that also becomes contaminated just by that. So everything is contaminated in the modern age. So we can't follow everything, but we should know what our acharyas have given to us and what we should follow. Then it requires intelligence to know what to follow. Of course, we should ask in crucial situations our guru, what should we do in this situation? But we come all the time, every moment we have to decide what to do, isn't it? At every moment, consciously or unconsciously, we are deciding what to do, or if we're not deciding, that means that we are acting under the influence of the modes of nature. So, a self-controlled person, he doesn't just act according to impulse, but he acts according to higher direction. Therefore, he has to know what is in Shastra, he has to know what is given by our acharyas, and he has to have a feel for this also. He has to have a feeling that what is actually pleasing to Krishna. So, this book I'm making of Vaishnava Etiquette, it is a book and it gives many directions. And it will help devotees who are sincere to please Krishna to learn how that should be done. But actually a book is not all enough. We have to develop that understanding of what will be pleasing to Krishna. It's not always very straightforward. Sometimes even the guru may say something which he doesn't want us to follow. It may be. Which he doesn't want us to accept. Just to test us, he may say. Just like we find in the beginning of the sixth canto of Bhagavata, that Shukadev Goswami told that one can be purified from sinful reaction by performing prayaschitta. Should they, Parikshit Maharaj rejected? No, that cannot be correct. So he detected, Shukadev Goswami was testing him, and Parikshit Maharaj detected that he's saying something which is against the Siddhanta of what he's previously taught me. So sometimes the Guru may say something to test us. In the Bhagavatam also, we see the example that Jamadagni ordered his sons to kill his mother. And they all refused, one after the other. Until the youngest, Parashuram, agreed. And you want me to kill my mother? All right, he killed her. And then his father was very pleased. Oh, very good, you followed my instruction. So what benediction do you want? He said, I want that you bring my mother back to life and not remember that I killed her. Because he knew that if he followed his father's instruction, his father had enough power, his father would be pleased and would give him a benediction, and his father had enough power to fulfill, and he will bring his mother back to life and not remember this. So he knew that he could, without avoiding his father's order, he could do even such an apparently horrible thing. And there would be no bad effect. So that there are many tests. There may be even sometimes what Guru tells, we have to understand. To the advanced disciple, he may give some instruction which is meant to test it. So we have to develop. Actually means the development of Krishna consciousness, to understand what I should do, how I should act at every moment in such a manner that will be pleasing to Krishna. So I've written much about this. I think you're all getting these sheets, is it? These printouts? So you can read more about this. Any question on this? That a devotee's behavior should be ideal is a very general topic. This book, actually, of which three chapters are included here, there are many specific directions. Please don't go without taking prasadam. You are not allowed to go yet. I'll just take, if there's one question, I'll take, because it's getting late, you have to go home. Is prasadam for everybody? Oh, so many questions. Well, why don't you bring the prasad? Can we do that? And then those who want to leave, you can give, and then others who want to stay will give later. Sometimes we find some devotees using foul language, shouting, etc. How to understand this? Yes, this is one of the points in my... Foul language is not meant for devotees. If you have a bad habit from previous bad upbringing of using bad language, in every language there is some bad words which only uncultured people use. So if you have such a habit, you should stop them. It's not proper behavior. I don't know what they are in Tamil, but there must be, because there is in every language. There's some bad...
My mother used to ask us, go and wash your mouth. Anybody says any bad word as a child?
So any bad words, they're not meant. Devotees are... Of course, we can... Prabhupada practically taught us these words. Buddha, nonsense, fool, rascal. We should be selective in using them. But they're also very bad words. Just like in Hindi, there's sua ka bachcha, they say like that. So that is bad word. It doesn't sound so bad. Amma, tell her, don't go now. Ask her to not to go. She should take the sun first. So, these kind of things, which is it's considered very offensive actually. We shouldn't. Foul language is not meant for devotees. It means, if you use such language, it means that actually the consciousness is not becoming purified. Shouting maybe, generally not. Generally not, but it may be. Prabhupada used to shout sometimes in chastising disciples. Father can chastise his son. A guru can chastise his disciple. But generally, it's not proper. How are we to understand this? It's difficult to understand this type of behavior. Once in India, two of Prabhupada's disciples, Western devotees, they're all Westerners in the beginning, they were shouting and fighting with each other, and then it came even to physical blows. So then one Indian gentleman said to Prabhupada that, you see your two disciples, they're fighting. And Prabhupada said, are you surprised they're fighting? I'm surprised they're chanting Hare Krishna. Because they're from such a background that you don't expect such people to chant Hare Krishna. So we shouldn't think that after 30 years of chanting Hare Krishna, you'll still be like that. That means not becoming pure. But it may be because of coming from such a background. But then, actually again, you see in this Chaupati temple, they have very nice systems. We should all study this actually. Is that they don't actually allow anyone to join the temple before screening them for at least 2 years. And then even after joining, if they fight and any such thing, then immediately they're asked to leave. Some standard is maintained, then it's very nice. We should maintain a proper standard. In this modern polluted age, you find mosquitoes, dust, and they come and irritate near the mouth. One is forced to use his fingers to scratch. Even we wash our hands with water, what is the use? There's bacteria in the water. So when you pass school, you don't bother washing because everything is polluted. This is my advice to you. You can either go to the jungle and find some waterfall which is not used by anyone and live there. Or you just don't bother using water. Don't take bath ever. This is foolish. Chanting japa during arati and class, yes. If we're in the arati, we should kirtan, we should join the kirtan. If we're in class, we should listen to the class, not chant japa. There's a question here about cleanliness. Well, one evening I'm going to speak on cleanliness, so that can be deferred to that. Yeah, the question on cleanliness that can be brought up in the class on cleanliness. There seems to be an attitude among devotees to judge devotees as good, bad, not worthy of respect, not really a Vaishnava. So there's no question of offense. Can you please comment on this? Well, this is a very dangerous mentality if you say that such a person is not really a Vaishnava, so there's no question of offense. That means that you want to make, it means you are preparing yourself to make offenses. But we're not supposed to make offenses to anybody. This discrimination is required. We should know, according to the descriptions of Shastra, who is an advanced devotee, who is an intermediate devotee, who is a neophyte devotee. We should associate with advanced and intermediate devotees. And someone who is a neophyte devotee means in the sense that they may be chanting Hare Krishna, but their behavior is not very good. We are advised not to mix very intimately with them because their association cannot help us to advance. But at the same time, we're not supposed to, that doesn't give a license to punch them in the face or call them bad names or any such thing. So, that anyone is chanting Hare Krishna is that's very good, that's better than anybody, than most people. But at the same time, we are advised not to associate intimately with someone who's maybe chanting Hare Krishna, but by their behavior, they don't appear to be very much purified. But that doesn't mean that we should take that as a license to misbehave with others. How do we cope with the attached bathrooms? Well, you have to use it, that's all. There's no choice. Even if you don't use it and go outside to take a bath, if you're in an apartment building, then everyone else is using, so it all becomes contaminated. You have to use it, but it means we're operating to a compromised standard. That's why I'm saying we have to accept what standards our acharyas gave us. Just like you're saying, the water is contaminated, so why should we bother to use it? Or what difference does it make? We might as well just put our hands in our mouths because the water is contaminated. But our Acharya Prabhupada accepted that for the situation in the modern age, it is acceptable to take a bath in an attached bathroom, and that will be considered purified enough to go on with our activity. Because if you don't, then if you can't keep the level here, then you have to put it somewhere. That argument, then why, you know, put our hands in, why should we wash it? The water is also contaminated. That means that you're finished with all levels. So, considering the situation, that means you have no standard. That's what I'm saying. You pass through and you don't bother washing. You say that everything is contaminated. It is, but why I gave that example I gave that example to show that the old or the proper standards of purity cannot be followed in total. But that doesn't mean that we discard all standards of purity. Our Acharya Prabhupada has accepted that in the modern situation, we not only can, but we should take bath in an attached bathroom in the absence of anything else before we do puja. That will be accepted as purified. And if you don't take bath, then you're not purified enough to do it. So according to the old standards, that will not be accepted. Is accepted, this has been given by our Acharya as acceptably purified. So we should know that it's a compromise for the modern age. It's not the ideal standard, but still we have to accept that as the standard in the absence of the possibility to accept the highest standard.